Any enthusiasts in here that love roller coasters? Anybody love roller coasters? Like roller coasters? All right. Well, good. We're going to play along this morning, okay? So everybody, I want you to trust me in this process. Is that okay? Are you going to trust me in this process? Because today is going to feel a little bit like a roller coaster. There are going to be times where you're going to be excited. You're going to be cheering. There are going to be times where you might feel sick to your stomach. There might be times where you don't know exactly what's around the next curve, but where we're going to get at the end is right back where we started. And then we'll take what we actually experience and go do something with it. So this morning, I'm not kidding. I was a youth pastor for 20 years, so we're going to do this like I would if I was hanging out with a bunch of students. All right, everybody, hands up, because you just got buckled into your roller coaster. You got buckled into your seat. All right, so I'm going to give you directions, okay? So as we start to go up, you're going to lean back. We're going up, and you know, everybody knows the sound. The click, 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 click. You know that sound. And some of you are going, oh, dear Jesus, what have we gotten ourselves into? One, by what is this guy doing this morning? And two, why am I on this roller coaster on Sunday morning? So here we are, hands up, you're going up. Click, 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 click. And you get to the top, and then all of a sudden, you go down, and everybody is like, oh! And then as you come down, you go to the left, and it's like, whoa! And then as you go to the right, it's like, whoa! And then, oh my gosh, we're going to do a loop, and everybody goes, whatever. Oh! Right? And then we come to a complete stop, and everybody's like, oh! And you feel that pain, that lurch in your stomach, and you have one of two responses at the end of the roller coaster. Either you are thrilled with what just happened, or you are mortified at the fact that you are still there, white-knuckled, holding on, barely able to breathe, with a pounding in your chest. You know, there's only a slight difference between nervousness and excitement. Just a slight difference. It's where we hold our breath. It's where the breath is held in that moment. Because when we actually exhale is when the excitement comes. When we hold the breath, the tension, the anxiety, it all builds within us. Today, I want you to trust me. I know we just met. I know that I just got up here, but trust me as we go through this process. Because today, thank you very much. Today, something different is going to happen. Something new. If nothing else, it will provide you with a new perspective. We're going to pray, and then we're going to open up, and I'm going to unpack a story found in John chapter 9 in a way that you probably haven't seen before. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the way that you're continuing to work. I thank you for the way that you're with us, God, that your presence never leaves us. It doesn't forget about us, God. With your strength, all things are possible. So, Lord, in this moment, right here in this setting, Lord Jesus, be present. Let your Holy Spirit fill this room. Let it overcome doubts. Let it overcome fears, worries, past. Let it consume us, God. Let your love just completely break down every wall. And let this moment, God, be a reflection of your heart and your character. Thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
corn? Fresh corn? Got corn? Need corn? Get corn? Not talking about the corns on your feet. I'm talking about fresh corn. That's right. This here is the best corn that you're going to get because it comes from the richest soil in all these parts. I'm telling you, it's the best corn. You know you need some corn. And I'm not just being corny. How you doing? You interested in some corn? It's from the best pod right here. Yeah? Well, how you doing today? You doing all right? Yeah? Well, Me? Oh, well, you know, I've been better. I can't complain. It doesn't do me any good and doesn't get me any more corn, but I've had some tough times, but God is good. What? Well, yeah, I believe that God is good. I didn't always see things the way that I see them now, but I believe it is good. I had a tough time when I was growing up. You know, when I was growing up, I was scared of the dark. I know that lots of little kids are scared of the dark when they're growing up, but every day was dark for me. It was like I was in a bad dream that I couldn't wake up from. I found myself feeling lonely and scared all the time because it felt like I was constantly in the dark. I was born blind. I couldn't see. And during that time, during them days, when you was born blind, it was like you was damaged goods. It was like you was not quite human. There was something wrong with you. There must have been a reason why all that happened to you when you was little. And so here I am. My dad, he was a farmer, and he would take me out about 7 years old. He'd take me out and put me out in the street with a sign and a cup and just let me there all day because I couldn't go to school because they thought I was damaged goods. And I couldn't help on the farm because, well, I'm liable to kill somebody trying to swing a sickle. I just found myself sitting there all day listening to people feel sorry for me as they walk by and see me and just begin to process what was happening. You know, you can tell a lot about a person by their voice. You can tell whether they're smiling, if they're mad, if they're worried, if they're constipated. You can tell a lot about a person by the sound of their voice. Sometimes there's people that they're just mean. And sometimes it was them church folk. I'd be sitting there and I'd have people walk up and they'd give me a little few coins here in my cup and then they'd walk off and you'd hear them. And I always knew that they was the church folk when they'd say, "Hey, whose fault do you think it was that he was born blind? Is it his daddy? Is it his mama? Or was it something he did?" And I just found myself getting really angry at him. Why would you think that my mama or daddy did something? Why do you think that God hates me so much that he would make me not be able to see? I don't want nothing to do with a God like that, that has everything to do with those people who have that type of attitude with me, that there's something that I did wrong that brought it about on me. You know, there's lots of mean people. I sometimes be sitting there and people come by and some of them would kick me. For no reason whatsoever. Some of them would spit on me. And I even got it peed on by an occasional dog. Not a very exciting day. You know, you'd have thought with everything that was happening that sometimes other people was more blind around me than me. They'd trip over me and stumble over me like I wasn't even there. I was surrounded by people. But I ain't never felt so alone in my whole life. And then one day, I remember it was about 18 years after Daddy dropped me off. Every day I sat there with my cup and with my sign. I don't know what that sign said. But I sat there. And I heard this group of students coming up and they was asking their teacher. They said, "Teacher, whose fault was it that guy was born blind?" And he stopped and you could hear it in his voice. And his response was different than anybody else. He said, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for somebody to blame. The real question is, what does God want to do with this today? Let me shed some light on this for you. He came over and he knelt in front of me and he put his hand on my shoulder. He goes, "You'll see what I mean." And then he started and he spit on the ground. And then I could hear him mixing it. And all I got to say is it didn't smell very good at all. And then he put that stuff on my eyes. I could hear people laughing. I could hear all kinds of stuff going on around me. He said, "Go and wash in that pool of Siloam." And then I felt him leave. I got up, and as I'm walking, I could hear people laughing. I could hear a rumble, a noise, and I made my way over to the water, and I reached into the water, and I splashed it on my face. And everything got bright. Everything got bright. It was so bright. So then I just shoved my whole head in the water. And when I pulled it out, I could see the sky. I could see the trees. I could see the people. I could see everything. I could see because that man, he spit on the ground and rubbed it in my face. And then he told me, and I could see. And I remember being so excited. Because I was blind, but now I could see. And then, for some reason, some people got real upset because I could see. I don't know why it bothered them so bad. But they started asking me all kinds of questions about if I was really blind before. Like I would choose to sit here for 25 years and not be able to do nothing but develop some sores on my backside and a whole lot of bad memories. Well, of course I was blind. They started asking my parents questions, and then they started asking my parents questions about that man named Jesus and how I knew him and as if I knew him. And then they brought me back in and they asked me some more questions. Because clearly they didn't think that this was something that happened from God. And I said, "Look, I've already told you over and over. I've told you a bunch of times. You're just not listening. All that I know is I was blind, but now I could see. If he wasn't from God, how could he do this stuff?" Boy, yeah, that made them madder than a blind man trying to find Waldo. I don't know why they had their panties in such a bunch, but they was all upset. They told me that I was nothing but dirt and told me to get out. I wasn't surprised. And then I found myself outside a place and a fella came up to me and he said, "Hey, you believe in the Son of Man?" And I said, "Well, point him out to me and I will." And he smelled like sawdust and sweat. And I remember that smell from when he knelt in front of me before. And he said, "You're looking at him." And I just started to cry. I believe. And I just fell at his feet. And that's all that I could say. I believe. And he knelt down. And he put his hand on my shoulder again like he did the first time. And he said, "That's why I came, so that I could make it clear." You see, sometimes seeing is believing. Other times, believing is seeing. It changed my whole world. changed my whole outlook that day. Because I realized that the soil that he put on my face was a seed that he planted in my heart. It changed my life forever. So when I ask you if you want some corn, it's because it's grown in the best soil. You want some corn?
Three words. Three words that come up in this story whenever I read it. Trust the process. Trust the process. Phrase that was established by the Philadelphia 76ers when they were in the process of rebuilding their entire NBA basketball organization. And they began to play off of these words of trust the process. Hey, we know that things are bad right now, but trust the process because we've got a plan and it's going to get better. Trust the process. Trust the process. I'm kind of a word nerd. Any other word nerds in the house? You're too introvert to be able to raise your hand and even express it, I understand. I'm a word nerd. So when I start to look at different words, it starts to make more sense to me. And when I look at this particular story, the way that the words lay out and the way that the story is painted right in front of me, it changes everything. Here is a man who is bitter and jaded by life. And when one man kneels in front of him and does, if it was in your shoes, if this happened to you, where somebody knelt in front of you and spit on the ground and then wiped something in your face when you could not see them, how trusting would we be? It's based on past experience, current circumstances, and future goals. It's how we're going to process and determine our objectives. Your past, your present, and what you want in the future is how you see and process everything. So where this guy had been and everything that had happened in his life, all the hurt, all the heartbreak, all the anxiety, all the challenge, all the difficulty, all the loneliness that he felt was wrapped up in this moment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been there? It was wrapped up in this moment. Jesus spits on the ground. He makes mud. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time that I spit on the ground, it was a small amount. In order for me to make mud, I would have had to sit there for a long time and spit a whole lot. I don't think that it was one simple act. I think it was a process. And while the man was sitting there, listening to what's going on in front of him, and then that paste being applied to his eyes, he had two choices. He could reference the past, or he could see hope for the future. And he gets up and he goes to the pool of Siloam, which literally is translated sent. Go. Go do what I've shown you, what I've told you. And he goes and he washes and he receives his sight. And everything is fantastic and great. And then he encounters another series of obstacles that should not ever have been faced with. But even though he had his sight, he's still going through trial and challenge. And then he finds himself encountering Jesus in a way that he recognized the man's voice. So as I start to break this down, I start to think about the roller coaster. I start to think about the ups, the downs, the twists, the turns, the lurching in our stomach, the sudden stops, the wild ride, the craziness that ensues. And I'm like, trust the process. And I can either focus on one moment and become scared and nervous and overwhelmed by it, or I can trust the process, knowing that there is an outcome. Even though I don't see where it's headed, I'm going to trust the process. I love the story about the Chinese bamboo plant. Some of you have probably heard it. Some of you probably have seen the story on Facebook or other things like that. The Chinese bamboo plant goes out. The man takes this seed and he plants it in the ground. And he comes out every day and he waters it. and he fertilizes it every day. His neighbor watches him. Every day he comes out and does it. Weeks go by. Months go by. A year goes by, and his neighbor's like, "Hey, nothing's happening, man. You still got just a pile of dirt that you're getting and turning it into mud every day." He's like, "It's all right." Keeps going through. Every day, goes out, he waters it, fertilizes it, does everything that he needs to do. 2 years go by. 3 years go by. Nothing still has come up out of the ground. 4 years go by. 5 years go by. And finally, a little sprout starts coming up out of the ground. Man's like, "Well, looks like you got some weeds now." "No, no, no. Just wait." In 90 days, that bamboo plant grows over 100 feet tall in the next 90 days. So the question is, does it happen in 90 days? Or did it happen in 5 years? The growth happened because of the consistency. The pushing through, the trial, trusting the process, continuing to go through it, even though you couldn't see the outcome. It's just like a plant. Our life is just like a plant. You're buried. Sometimes it feels like the whole world is on top of you. Feels like that everybody's against you. And in order for you to succeed, you've got to break yourself open. Feel like your whole world is falling apart. And for every step forward you make, you got 2 steps back. Anybody ever felt that way? "Ah, man, I make one. Oh, I got some progress. Woo-hoo. Oh, crap. Hey, guess what? We just got the house paid off, and now you got braces you need. Oh. Hey, guess what? The car's paid off, and now it needs tires and an engine." See, when we think about this in a lateral perspective, the one step forward, 2 steps back, what we don't realize is if you take and you turn that vertically, that's just a deepening. Every step forward, every step back, you're getting deeper and deeper. And what happens is the deeper your roots grow, the higher you can achieve. Trust the process. Now, here's the reality of all of this. As we've talked this morning, you've seen yourself as the individual watering the plant, haven't you? "I got to stay consistent. I got to get my water can. I got to go and water that plant, and I got to turn the soil, and I got to mix in some crap, and I got junk. I got to. You've seen yourself as the one watering, but that's not your role. It's not your role. You're the plant. You're the plant. And you have to trust that he's going to show up every day and provide what you need to grow. You have to trust that he's going to provide the water and the fertilizer in order for you to grow. That he's going to care for you every single day, even when you feel like you're being beat down, when you feel like you're buried, when you feel like everything is overwhelming you. Trust the process. Jesus used these words. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me." When I looked at the word process, it describes a direction, a set of steps, instructions, an overall structure. When Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he's just laid out, "I am the process." We want steps. Well, God, I need you to give me a PowerPoint presentation. I need you to give me all 18 slides, and I need you to give me some very specific details as to when, how, and where we're going to get there. Where are we going to stop along the way? What are we going to have for lunch? What are we going to have for dinner? I need to know where we're going to be staying. I need to know if I need to bring warm clothes or if I need to bring cool clothes. I need to know if I need to bring some you know, a whole jacket, or do I need to bring my swimsuit? I need to know the whole process, God. You just sound like a little kid in the back of the car going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? When are we going to be there? I got to pee. Oh my gosh. I'm so hungry. How many times spiritually do we find ourselves in that particular spot? Trust the process. And I know that we hear this and it's like, oh, that's great. I've heard that my whole life. Then unpack it for the first time. I grew up in church. I heard a whole lot of things, but until I started to unpack it and let it breathe and let it see, be seen for what it really is, it didn't mean anything to me. It was words on a page. But when they became alive in front of me, it's when I began to take hold of it and go, I don't really like what that's being said, but I trust your process. Trust is the process. Trust Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I told you I'm a word nerd. The word acknowledge, break it down. It means to accept knowledge, to accept the truth, to take it in, to allow it to be processed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on what you know. You don't have the plan. You don't have the answer. Trust is hard. I get it, because we want to take the reins. But look where your leading has gotten you right now. Maybe it's time to hand the watering can over to someone else. Because Scripture says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which, when I look at the definition of consistency, that's exactly what it is. When we struggle in our life with being consistent with our quiet time and our time with God, it's because He's not involved in the process. Consistency is found in Christ. Here's the process. Show up and meet with Him. Listen to His instructions and do what He says. That's the process. That's the process. I know it's super simple. It's an oversimplified presentation of what it is, but that's exactly what it is. Because He's the process. I'm going to be close enough to hear your voice. I'm going to be close enough to hear your whisper so that the noise of the world that's trying to overwhelm me and trying to tell me how I should and shouldn't live my life and how I should conduct myself and all the things that I should or shouldn't do, I'm going to be so close to you and focused on your voice so that I can know where you want me to go and what you want me to do. We sang this morning that He's a chain breaker, that He's a way maker. When you feel lost, He's there. These things that we've said, we sometimes say them within a song and we feel good and it's, yeah. When are we going to start making it our prayer? God, I trust that You are the one that's going to get, I don't know what's going to happen. Here's a different side note. Have you noticed that we often think that if it doesn't happen within our timeline, that God is not good? We often think that death is a result of God not fulfilling what He promised or what we expected. When we think the fact that we are eternal beings, your last breath is not the last part of your life. It's just a continuation of the process. Trusting the process, whether on earth it ends in death or not, is not a fulfillment or lack of God's provision and his care. For all you know, that's the point where we finally break through the ground and experience the growth that we were intended for the entire time. But we want to look at it and just base everything by our feelings. I get it. Your feelings are real. But not every thought behind your feeling is true. The difficulty in trusting the process is that we've got a lot of baggage that we're trying to deal with, that we're literally trying to process. When Jesus says, cast all your care, or excuse me, when Paul said, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you, that's what he meant. When Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he's not just saying, hey, come and work for me. Put on the plow. No, the yoke was his interpretation of Scripture. It's the what he was saying. Here is the way it's laid out. My yoke, my understanding, my rules, my guidelines are all based according to grace. And that's easy and it's light and doesn't require anything of you except for you to surrender and trust. Trust the process. The band wants to make their way back up. Love for them to come back up and use this time as a portion of worship. And I want you just to trust me for just a moment. Close your eyes. Close your eyes right here in this setting. Just close your eyes. I'll talk loud so that it doesn't allow you to fall asleep. I want you to trust the process. That's not always easy. The process. The process right here starts with you saying, God, I give it to you. Some of you today, you're walking through situations you don't know what's going to happen. You're overwhelmed by life. You're overwhelmed by difficulty. You're overwhelmed with anxiety, with fear, with addiction, with all kinds of other challenges. And some of you are here today and you've had a relationship with God and you're still wondering why you're still dealing with the same things over and over again. Why am I still in the same circle? Why am I still dealing with the same things that I was dealing with? Why do I have so many ups and so many downs? Why am I going through all of this again? And he says, trust me, I got you. We're in this together. Today, if you find yourself in that situation, and you say, hey, I would love for you to pray for me that I just continue to have strength and continue to seek Him first. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, meet me eye to eye? Yeah, all around the room. All around the room. Thank you for your vulnerability, for your honesty this morning. Thank you. God, I pray for each and every person in this room that raised their hand. And those that didn't, God, out of fear, out of concern, worry about what other people might say. But God, I pray that in this moment that you would overwhelm them with your presence, with your love. Lord, I know that your love conquers, believes, hopes, and bears all things, that your love never fails. It's by your stripes that we're healed, and it was your love that drove you to the cross. So, Father God, I thank you for your presence, for your power, for your willingness, for your consistency, for your faithfulness. God, when I wasn't faithful, you were. When you didn't even have a clue about who Jesus was, he still loved you. God, I'm so thankful for that love and for that willingness to accept me as a broken vessel. God, and to still utilize us and move us forward to accomplish your will and your purpose. God, help us to see those things. God, don't let us lose heart. Though outwardly we feel like we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And these light momentary troubles are achieving an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what's not seen, but what's unseen, because we know what's seen is temporary, God, and what's unseen is eternal. So Lord, let that be our focus. Let that be our purpose, God, that we wouldn't become distracted by what's to our left or our right, feel like we're sinking in the middle of it all, but to realize that you're right there with us, extending the hand, offering us the opportunity for safety and for provision, God, that you're right there in the fire when it feels like that we're burning up and being consumed, that you're still right there, God, and that you are there not allowing a hair on our head to be singed. God, even though we face adversity in our work and in our home and in our life, God, you are the peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our heart and our mind, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. So Lord, help us to hold on to that with every ounce of strength that we have. But in all things, God, I trust you because your strength is more than enough. And with your strength, I can do all things. And in my weakness is when your grace and your strength prevail. Still with every head bowed and every eye closed, I always offer this. Because it was so generously offered to me. Some of you, you've never trusted God with your whole heart. You've never said, Jesus, I trust you. Be the Lord of my life. I surrender my heart to you. Save me, forgive me, make me new. Some of you have never taken that step, and the process of transformation that begins with that verbalization of those words in that moment, the surrender of your heart, begins the process of making you new. For some of you today, he's right here with his hand on your shoulder, simply saying, let me make it clear. Let me show you that I've been here the whole time and that I'll be with you through every step and every season. Today, if that represents you, you say, I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus. If that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Thank you. Thank you. If you've never done that before and you're wanting to surrender your life to Christ, this is that moment. Thank you. I see you in the back. Can we just all pray together? Just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I need you.
I surrender my life to you.
I've messed up. I'm a sinner. And I need you to save me. Forgive me. And make me new.
I believe that you died.
And that you rose. So that I could have new life. I trust you. And I lean on you. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, let's celebrate this morning and let's worship the God who saved us.